We're good to go. As we know, this week we're starting a new book, the book of Devarim, and I'm here to inspire you and talk to you about what we need to do with that. I mean, what's the purpose of what we're about to read. In fact, if we talk about the five books of Moses, the last book of Moses, which is the fifth one, the beginning, it seemed like Moses is crushing the people. Tough words. You've then done this and that and tough and tough. And the question is why? Why? I mean, why is Moses is so busy telling everybody what did they do wrong? After all, a leader, you know, this is his last day to be alive. Why would he want people to remember him like that? Most leaders will be more happy if they will go with a good memory, especially the last day, right? Moses seemed to wait for the last day to tell the people what they did wrong and what is it that they need to improve their life with. And the question we need to ask is why? Because everything we're going to talk about tonight will be about how we speak, the power of our words. Like, we can destroy everything with words, or we can rebuild everything with words. The question is, Moses, the leader of all leaders, the example for all of us, all of a sudden, crush it. For 40 years walking with them in the desert, everybody realized Moses and God are a partner. Here, the last day, he's telling them what's wrong. And we need to understand those words that, of course, Moses is choosing. We're going to explain it in a few minutes. But more important, from a leader point of view, we need to understand that part as well. True leaders make sure that whoever follow get better. A fake leader will only remember as a leader. When you remember the leaders, that leader was no good. When you look at the people that follow that leader and their life get better, they behave better, they become more spiritual, then you know the leader was good. Moses was making sure to write this book, to tell them two things. One, improve where you are wrong and continue to do the good that you've already been doing. That's why when Moses spoke to them, talked to them, it was all about this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Remind them everything they did wrong. Now a question for you guys. What do you do with criticism? You kind of hugging the guy, kissing the guy, say, give it to me again. Again, 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 I want to hear it again. Or you kind of turn off. Unfortunately, we are in a, don't take it the wrong way, I'm not such a leader as Moses, but we are in a weak generation. It's a weak generation. Everybody was, let's say, above. 55 is old generation. That's how I look at it. 55 and below, new generation. So if you're 55 and below, you belong to that generation that's weak, not strong, not powerful. We don't take criticism very well. People below 55, I mean, if you meet with them, I don't want to talk about people who are 19. God forbid, they're going to take you to court. You just insult them. That's like, the words of our generation. The words. So what are we getting into? I mean, where is this universe taking us based on the words? And why words have so much power? Why is it the power of words so much power? People can get angry. People take a gun, right? I mean, gun. And this one blamed the president, the other one blamed the ex-president, this one blamed the gun control, words, blah, 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 blah. CNN, Fox, International TV, BBC, blah, 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 blah. What are they saying at the end of the day? What happened? What are they talking about? What? Just talking. What are you doing with those words? Do you believe that the words that you have in your mouth is like a small bullet in a chamber of a gun? Because if you don't believe in it, then why are you talking? You're not making an effect, not a good, not a bad way. So just shut up. Just don't talk. If you not add anything to the picture, don't talk. At least somebody said to you, hey, you're so fat. You're hating them, right? But it might make you lose weight. Somebody tell you, you're so fat, ugly, fat. What is it does to you? Just hearing me saying it. Checking yourself. I think I need to lose weight. You're hating them, but it's moving you. What happens when people tell you, you're so smart? I met many rich people, but you are the richest. You're so beautiful. We are pleased with those words. We actually feel that those words are the truth. Finally, somebody realized how beautiful I am, how rich, how amazing I am. Words! We all want people to tell us how great we are. We all love it. We all love it, right? Nobody liked the idea to be called named. Gentleman called me, happened to call me today and on Friday. He's in a stock market business. Those of you who know what happened with the stock today. Those of you who heard the words on TV, there's some little drop. It's a bump. Whoever follow understand what I'm talking about. So, this gentleman was safe. Now we're safe. Somebody called him stupid on Wednesday. Stupid idiot in a fight. Screaming at him, yelling at him about some investment I don't fully understand. The words that came out of that person's mouth hurt him. But on Friday, he make a decision to change something. And because of that, he didn't lose the money that he might lose. We are very busy with what have been said to me. The word is me. Me, 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 me. Right? Me. A lot of women, forgive me, women, ladies, when they go on a date, they want to be talked like they are queen. I always tell my daughter, tell my sister, I go up to her sister, watch the man who just has sugar on his tongue. One of my sister, when she was young, she always asked me, you mean candy? I said, no. No, it's been sweet. Sweet, everything is sweet. That's sweet, we're human here. We're not shaving our wings in the back. Words as human beings have ups and downs, beautiful. It's part of life. The word Devarim, the name of this book, the name of tonight, this week portion, Devarim, come from the word Diburim. Diburim mean conversation, talk in Hebrew. Words. All about words. Everything around you is talking. Yes, there is action. Yes, there is thought. According to Kabbalah, the soul has been built from three aspects. Thinking, talking, doing. Why is talking seem to Moses to be the most important thing that exists? The action, my friend, that we do is more of a free will. You can choose to slap somebody in the face or to give somebody a flower. There's more free will. The thought, no free will at all. You try to push the thought. You have some doubts about someone. You get jealous. You push the thought. But it keeps coming. Who's sending the thought? Not you. We believe there is negative energy and positive energy and they affecting us. But the words, my friend, very difficult. Because the thought attacking you from here, the other thought attacking you from here, and you have to keep your gun, this is the gun, by the way, that's a chamber. You have to keep the gun close. Don't let any bullet coming out. Because your tongue is shooting all the time, shooting. So before there is a shooting, whatever it is, in any location of the United States or any location of the world, somebody called me after what happened and they asked me if I know somebody that people can talk to. I said, I don't know the name. I gave one number. I said, unfortunately, the way I grew up is Israeli. That happened all the time when I was young. You know, You go to a restaurant, somebody come with a bomb, explode himself. No Chinese dinner for tonight, unfortunately. Everybody die. So you get used to it. Unfortunately, it's not a pleasant thing to the eyes. In the 80s, that was people watching Madonna, and we watching people die on a bus. So I said, maybe you can learn from them what to do in a situation like this, how to prepare. I don't know. I'm not. But the talk, myself, my friend, is the choice you have. If you want to know what is that you need to change in life, is only how you talk. There's many things that we can discuss about conversation and talk. Saying the truth, very important. How to say the truth, very important. Don't gossip behind the back of somebody else, very important. Don't just talk for no reason, also very important. Don't lie, also important. Don't speak lie behind somebody's friend, also very important. Don't speak negative news about somebody, even if it's the truth, also important. So the entire existence of a human body, of a human existing, is talking. If you want to know what is your purpose here, check your level of talk. Are you truly honest with yourself? Are you truly saying the truth? One of the things that people check mentally about the brain, not spiritually, not Kabbalah, they find out that what causing us stress is to lie. I know some people that they lie better than they tell the truth. They don't even know the truth. But to tell the lie, basically, when you are a baby, when you want to say, let's say you are 2 or 3 years old, when you want to say the word no, you move your head this way. When you want to say yes, in our time, right now, as we become adult, we can actually, in our mind, know that the answer is absolutely yes. And we can say, absolutely not. It says that the brain needs to send a message to the brain to move the head in a certain condition. It's stressing us out without even we know, while we lie. We don't even know how much pain we're causing ourselves every time we don't know how to use those two lips. The portion of Devarim, if we look at it, and yesterday I had to give this message to Israel in Hebrew. So, how many type of wrong talking there is? So, we're going to address three things and try to remember them. One of them called Rachil, you don't have to remember that, is just to speak about someone. Not bad, not good, nothing. I don't want you to raise hand, but do we have a tradition that we sit at a cafe and we just talk about someone? Don't have to answer. Do we have that? That's called Rachil. Second thing, Otsa'at Diba. Diba mean D-I-B-A, meaning that you are saying lies about someone. Speaking negative, but it's a lie. Then you have the third concept called Lashon Hara, which means that you're telling the truth about someone, but it's the bad truth about them. That's considered the worst thing you can do. When I get the lecture, yesterday they asked me, how can that be? We thought saying a lie about someone should be the worst. You are here telling the truth about the person, which is the bad truth, is the worst? Why? The Zohar, the Ari explained, that when you tell a lie about someone, the words are negative, but they don't have power. When you tell the truth, which is a negative truth about someone, the words are negative and they have foundation as well. One of the most dangerous things to do this week, specifically now till August 12th, is watch your mouth. Watch how you talk about people behind their back more than how you confront people. It's written, another section of the Zohar, that there is a way how to tell your friend that he did something wrong. The Zohar go to different step. First step, you have to take your friend to a different room, lock the room, and tell them what's wrong. That's the first step. If that's the, by the way, I'm sorry, previous step, First, if you want to tell somebody something that they did wrong, you have to love them. Unconditional love. If you don't love them, you can't tell them anything. Because if you tell somebody you don't like, something is wrong with them, what's the purpose of telling them? For you? Why you tell them? It's only one condition. Before, you have to check yourself 1,000 times. Do I like that person? Yes? And you talk to them. If you don't like them, what's the purpose of talking to them? First step. Second step, you take them to a private room and tell them what you think. Third step, if that doesn't work, they don't listen, because you love them so much, you bring them in front of their best friend. You talk to them. Well, we third. Fourth, you tell it to them in front of everybody. Embarrass them. And fifth, you let it go. That's what the Zohar go through the stages. You let it go. So the Zohar said, what is this thing with the talk? Say, we learn it from God. Hopefully you believe. I'm not here to convince you that God loves you. Otherwise he wouldn't create you. But I'm sure there is scientifically not proven that God loves you. It's not on a checklist of MIT graduate that they discover, oh, I think we found the chromosome of God love. I don't think they find it yet. So let's assume God loves you. That's why he created you. It makes sense. Or maybe God was bored and he created you because he wanted to hate you. Yes, we found out. Now we can create religion. God hates you now. Come to me as a priest, as a rabbi, and I will teach you how God will love you one day. Maybe after you die, God will love you. That's what religion was based on. But let's assume religion is wrong and spirituality is right, and God loves you unconditionally, and he doesn't care if you do bad or good. He loves you. Let's start with that. If you accept it, good. If you don't, I can't help you with that. So God loves you unconditionally. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be spiritual. You don't have to be nothing. Think about it. And many people that when they become spiritual, they feel like righteous. And they go in front of God and say, God, oh my God, God, I did well this year. And try to imagine God. Try to, like a movie, okay? Different POV. So God is watching, like this person. Say, what do you want, sir? I did it all. I did it all. Charity, helping people, poor. Ha ha, ha ha, huh? Where is everybody else? I don't care for everybody else. So let's now take another POV. God is a father. Let's move God. God is father who created kids, or a mother. Okay, whatever you want to look at it like that. Do you think there is so much joy in heaven for the righteous one to appear like righteous? Like this one person arrived. Where is everybody else? If you believe that there is a father in heaven or a mother in heaven, you believe in it, then they don't wait for one person. They wait for everybody. We are a global family. This is a global community, which is one family. Yes, one is Christian, one is Jewish, Hindu, whatever, you know, Muslim. But it's a family. In the end of the day, in the eyes of God, it's one family. 7.2 billion family. One person come and say, I am the one, doesn't affect at all. Doesn't affect. So when you speak bad about one of the people in the community, of the global community, there's no point. So going back to the Zohar, when the Zohar take that person, the Zohar, the God take that person that he loved, and then he tell him in private what's wrong. The Zohar explained when a person start to get sick about things that people don't even know he got sick, or something in private nobody need to know. Inner organ. Nobody know you have a problem in your inner organ. Then it come to his best friend, that his family know that he's sick, because something appear on the skin a little bit. Then it's coming to the public. Everybody know that he's sick. And then God leave him alone. The question is, living alone mean that he will be healthy? Or living alone mean that he will be more sick? Most Kabbalists explain that he will be healthy. God leave you alone, let him be healthy, and he's okay. Where do we learn it from? From the first creature that creating the bad talk. What's the first creature? The snake. The snake was speaking, not bad, but Lashon Hara, evil tongue behind God back. What was his punishment? Nothing. you will eat dirt for the rest of your life. How much dirt there is in the universe? Do you know how much dirt? Endless. That's not a punishment, that's a reward. One of the great Kabbalists named the Kotzke Rebbe said, the reason God gave him that kind of blessing, curse, God tried to tell him, leave me alone. I will give you whatever you want, just leave me alone. A lot of time you get everything you want just because God asks you, please don't knock on my door. Just don't knock on my door. Just leave me alone. Get out of here. That's the dangerous point. If you have still a little problem, you're still wanted. Because your first pray, or the prayer that comes from the soul, because a lot of time when we pray from a book and repeat the same mantra, the same prayer, those prayers already been said for 3,000 years. If you're Jewish, if you're Christian, less than 2,000. If you're Muslim, about 1,000 years. If you're Hindu, they're related to 10,000, but I don't know if it's true or not. But everybody come up with their own prayer. Those prayers have already the dark force soldier standing in the gate like that. They know all the tricks. Greater spiritual people than us was doing the same prayer. Greater. They learn. The negative force learn that there was any this kind of energy cannot go in. So you have to find your own language, your own talk. And it has to come from the right place. Words is important. Now, what do we do about it? Solution, as they say. The portion starts with the first verse, right away from the first verse, something amazing. Those are the things, advarim, that Moses talked to the Israelite across from the Jordan River. We're going to be there in November. In the desert, across from the Red Sea, Ben Paran, Ben Tofel, Velavan, Vechatzrot, Izav. We give names of four places. We go into Rashi. Ben Paran, Ben Tofel, Velavan. Rashi referred that places. Rashi never found those places in the Torah. It's the first time it appeared. And remember, this book is only a repetition of all the other four books. So it's saying like this, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Shimon said, Chazarnu al Mikra, I went through all the Bible, ולא מצינו מקום ששמו תופל ולבן. There is no such a city that's called תופל. There is no such a city that say לבן. Because here Moses mentioned to them where they have been and where they came from. They came from Egypt and all the station that they went through. He said, תופל has never been mentioned. The other city called Lavan never been mentioned. Tell us Rabbi Shimon, Ela Ochicham al advarim. He was correcting them, criticized them, that they make fun of the manna. Manna was a food that came from heaven. So instead of the eating physical food, they eat the angel's food. What is a manna exactly? It's something that has no physical form, but you can eat it, and you get satiated, and you taste whatever you're thinking about. So whatever you think about, that's how it tests. Pizza, pizza. Vanilla, vanilla. Can you change if you didn't like the taste that comes to your mind? Yes. You can do whatever. That's the manna. Amazing. So they spoke bad about the manna. And then, what is the other name? It's a Paran. What is Paran? Paran is the spy, all the spy. What the spy did when they came back, what did they do? Spoke bad again. Again, speaking bad. Chatzerot, what is this place called Chatzerot? It's never been mentioned before. Tell us, Rabbi Shimon, it's the place to remind us what Korach did. Korach was a relative of Moses that just spoke bad. Again, three times. And remember what Miriam did when Miriam spoke behind Moses' back. Vedizav and the golden calf that they created because they spoke bad about Moses and God himself. It seemed the portion begin simply to teach us if there is one thing you want to change. One thing you want to change, work on your lips. If you can't control what you say, if you can't control that, you can control nothing. Nothing. If you cannot control your talking ability, you cannot control nothing. That's why people scream and yell and get angry. And they say, it's not that I can't control myself, I try to control my worker, but they don't listen to me. Very simple. I can't control myself, I can't control my people. A person who's not capable to control the lips, eventually holding a gun and shooting everybody. Always look for the people who have no idea what they're saying, or the people that sometimes, you know, I always, the Mishnah, the book of the Mishnah written 2,000 years ago, say that quiet people are usually smart people. But not every quiet person is a smart person. That's what the Mishnah said. Because sometimes when they say one word, you realize that for 20 years they've been stupid for a long, long time. It was just they didn't say anything. So I want to mention that here because not every person who didn't speak is not dangerous. Because sometimes the chambers, or if you know what the magazine for a gun, you got to fill it with bullets. You know? So when you fill up the magazine with bullets, you know, you keep up a lot of words here, a lot of bullets, and then you go ahead and shoot and kill people. People with history. People with who went to college. People who have children. People who have who are grandchildren to other. Why? Why did you do that? I'm pissed. I'm angry. I hate this one. I hate this one. What are you doing that? And then we're pointing a finger. Now if you look at the news, those of you watching, everybody blame everybody. Riding on it. Oh, opportunity now for the Republican or Democrat to win. Let's kill it. People are dying. Just stop the competition for a second and put everybody together and say something like, we're in it together. Let's win it together. In 2-3 weeks, fight again. But now, I don't know if you, those of you who follow politics, you open CNN, they kill the Republican. You open Republican, they kill the CNN. You open BBC, they don't know what to do. They're sitting like, which side am I taking? Maybe we do 1 hour this way, one. It's never, it's not cool at all. This is people that all what they have is words. Action, we will forget what happened in 2 weeks. Nobody even remember the shooting in Vegas, right? Who remember? Nobody even remember what happened in Pittsburgh. Nobody remember San Diego. Nobody remember Brooklyn. Nobody remember. People just, because it's action. The thought we can't control. What left? That's it. See this? This is it. It's all what we got. The talk has to change. We can't speak about one another negative because we are destroying our own universe. Yes, global warming exists, I agree. Plastic in the ocean is a terrible thing and we have to do something about it. All these things. But it cannot be just a talk. What's wrong there so we can fix it there? We are a global community. There's no just me or you, it's a community. If in Hong Kong people suffer right now, we have to suffer. We are one. We are one. It's not we are one in this room. Oh, we are one. Oh, let's celebrate we are one. If you enjoy that somebody celebrates you and sing we are one, you're losing the whole point. But if you realize how can I communicate this message of tonight to my friend in China, to my friend in Louisiana, to my friend in El Paso or Chicago, reach out, Alaska. How do I give those messages to people? How do I help that we talk better? So I want to take you a little bit to the past. When I prepared the portion, I didn't know that will happen, unfortunately, in Chicago and El Paso. Jerusalem, a famous city, such a famous city, if not one of the most famous city ever built before Rome, before any city, Jerusalem was exist. People fight for Jerusalem for any culture and religion. From Alexander the Great to England, to Rome, Persian Empire, the Babylonian, the Greek Empire, every empire will capture this little, what is Jerusalem? I don't know even the size. I mean, what is it, from Pico to the, I mean, what is this little thing? You should go there, you realize. What is wrong with those people? What is wrong? Yeah. And then Salah al-Din and the Templar, the Knight, another one. And what is going on? I mean, Today, Jerusalem is more modern and cool and fancy hotel, blah, 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 but it's still small. 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 It's a small place. Most amount of bloodshed, Jerusalem. Today, if you go to a cafe in Jerusalem, it's a funny thing. You sit in, you see somebody with a yarmulke, next to them in another cafe, Greek Orthodox, Armenian priest, Greek Orthodox, Catholic, Christian, Muslim, you have it all. In one cafe, you got it all. All religion, there, one little cafe, everybody around. So you ask them, you guys talk to each other? How is the words going on here? No, no, no. So why you are here? This is a holy city. So you agree it's a holy city. I just talked to the Jews, say the same. The Muslims say the same. The Christians, you all say it. So what do you think? Can we put you together? No, 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 no. It's our holy city. That's a fight. You need to know what the fight is about. It's our holy city. It's not their holy city. And everybody claimed Jerusalem to be the holy city. Everybody claimed that. Everybody. So they agree about one thing. Humanity. 7.2 billion people agree one thing. Jerusalem absolutely is a holy city. Wow. One thing humanity agree about, besides music. Music, everybody agree it's fun, right? Second thing, Jerusalem is the holy city. I never saw a person say, I hate music. You ever met the person? I never met the person. It's what type of music you like, but everybody like music, right? What is it about Jerusalem? What is it about Jerusalem that so much hate and bloodshed? What exactly happened? It'll take you to an understanding that one of the goals of the Israelites leaving Egypt as a slave to come to the land, at that time it's called the land of Canaan, Canaan, and a lot of people think it was Palestine or something like that. That name was never mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned as a Palestine was living in a place next to Egypt, very small place. But the name Palestine was never mentioned in the Bible. It's called Canaan. Canaan for the word surrender. How to surrender your lips, how to surrender your talk. That was the land of Canaan. They were supposed to enter. God told them to enter. Build for me a temple there. Very simple. They built a beautiful temple. King Solomon did it. King Solomon was the son of David. Great job. Great job. Even they knew that temple would be destroyed. They knew that there would be three temples. Two will be destroyed. One will be exist. How did they knew that? If you look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who built the foundation of spirituality. It says that Abraham look at the temple and he call it a mountain. That means it's not going to last. Eventually there will be a mountain. And that's what happened. First temple. Second temple, Isaac. What it say about Isaac, if you look at the Torah, I'm not going to go to details. But it says, Lasuach basadeh. It was a field. Flat field. That's what happened in the second temple with the Roman. The third temple, Jacob is in charge. What did it say about Jacob? If you remember what happened with Jacob. Jacob was dreaming about some angels. Do you remember that dream? He dreaming about some angels and the angel went up and down. Who are those angels? Basically, those angels represent all the pain and suffering of humanity. And they told Jacob it would be first generation. We're talking about, if you want to know exactly the years, it was about 2700 years ago. So you can check in your calendar what happened then. And then, second temple was destroyed 2000 years ago. Okay, so just that you get the idea. And the third temple, of course, supposed to appear and never being destroyed. How do we know that? Because what did it say about Jacob? He dreamed and he saw angel going up and down. When the angel go up, meaning the negative force will go up, but then it crush. It go up and then it crush. But one angel never crash. Who is this angel? They call him Edom, the red one. The red one is considered our generation, our exile. And Jacob start to be worried. He say, is that mean? the last generation have no hope. They will never have a chance to enjoy life with no pain and suffering, because it's written when the temple will be built, it will be no pain and suffering ever. Nobody will kill somebody by mistake even. It will just not happen. Negativity will not happen. What is it written about Jacob? It's a hint in the Torah. It's beautiful. It's written that when Yaakov wake up, you know what he does? He put a little stone there. And it say, this will be the stone that I know that I found God in this place. And this stone will last forever. By the way, I went to that place. It's a little dangerous to go there right now, but I went there anyway. Just to check, what does it feel like? Went there at 2 a.m., so nobody's there. That's a physical stone. I'm talking about the non-physical stone. It's actually the third temple. The third temple to be built. So as the Torah is teaching us, it will be three temples. One and two has to be destroyed. And the last one will be built and stay forever. We know that the temple was destroyed in the ninth degree of the moon of the month of Leo, which is happening exactly on Saturday. Both temples destroyed on the same day. Exactly when the moon gets to the ninth degree of the sign of Leo, which is happening exactly on Saturday. So this whole week, by the way, from Friday all the way till Sunday night, heavy. Because the energy of destruction is in the air. But do you think it's a coincidence? You check all the time with the 9 degree of the moon. Of Leo is like that. Weird things happen. That's why people don't go to the ocean. Because the angel of the ocean right now is not in a good mood. Those of you who study about it, I cannot go deep into it because I want to explain about the temple. Why was the first temple destroyed? If you take the word golden calf, the way you say golden calf in Hebrew is egel. Egel. Initial of the word egel is avodah zarah, gilui arayot, okay, or gezel, some people say gezel, lashon hara. Egel. There's many opinions. I will explain it now in English. The first temple was destroyed because of idol worshipping, which related to Abraham. Shfichut damim, bloodshed, when people either kill each other physically or they spoke bad about somebody in public, which is considered like killing him. And stealing. The Talmud in the section of Yomah says, so why the second temple was destroyed for? Speaking bad about one another that cause eventually hatred. If you hear somebody speak behind your back, what it does to you? You get a license to kill, right? Why? Why is it so much bother us when somebody speaks behind our back? What is it about us? We get angry. And what do you usually, if we confront them, what do we tell them? Can't you tell me this in my face? Yeah, you tell them that. And then they tell you in your face and you say, how dare you? Laws of communication. The one time they found the tzaddik, a righteous man. His name is the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was one of the greatest righteous who ever lived. He lived in Eastern Europe. And the story goes like that. That somebody speak very bad about him. Even if he's spiritual, they speak bad about him. So they're sitting in one of those places on Saturday night when you have a drink. And the righteous man come with his many followers. And everybody pointing to that guy. And I said to him, Master, this guy is not stopping talk behind you. Behind your back. So the Baal Shem Tov approached him and say, is there something you want to tell me? I say, yeah, you're a terrible person. He tell him all the bad words. Baal Shem Tov looked to him in the eyes. And he said to him, "You're absolutely right. And I think I even worse than what you just say. But whatever you say, it's about my body, it's not about my soul. Because you don't know my soul. But my body, I keep talking to my body every day how terrible the body is. Selfish, jealous, disgusting. But my soul, no." The person heard the answer, the Baal Shem Tov answer, start crying. Start crying because he realized this man is not trying to be a big shot. He said, "Yes, my body do mistake. Our body, unfortunately, is a body. But the soul that God gave you inside of your body, that's pure, that's beautiful. Sometimes a soul falls into the dirt like a diamond, but it's still a diamond. I never saw a woman who lost her ring into the dirt and say, now the dirt, the ring is dirty, I'm not picking it up. You ever see a lady lose the ring? I saw. Don't be there. It's very dangerous. If they agree with whatever they say, just help. Or don't help, because that can be dangerous too. You have to find it. Bottom line, if you don't find it and you help, it's complicated. Don't want to go in there. And the idea is, because when the ring going somewhere, it still keep the value. Your soul can never lose the real value. Your body, yes. Because your body is, unfortunately, it's dirty. What does the body need? Me and myself. But when you are talking differently, your body get corrected too. If you capable, those of you capable, if you don't have a job that need your lips, and you're capable to do a fast. I told a wonderful gentleman today, I asked him, would he be open tomorrow to do a fast of words? Which is one of the greatest things that Rabbi Isaac Luria talk about. Which is, tonight is the death anniversary of the greatest Kabbalist, Rabbi Isaac Luria. Tonight. That's why we're going to do a study around 9:30. Another study so we can... Words has power. You control your words, you control everything around you. You want to control your life, you want to control your marriage, you want to control your relationship, you want to control business, you want to control everything. Watch your words. Watch what you're saying. Watch how you're talking behind somebody's back. Watch it. Just watch it if you want full control. Now, there is... Any question? Did I miss something that I promised to tell you and I didn't? Did I? If I did, please let me know. There is another section here about talking. And today everything is about talking, as the Ari, the Zohar mentioned. Everything. And it say, when God say to Moses, find yourself wise people and intelligent people, Moses was looking around and he couldn't find intelligent people. And he took the leaders, he just chose leader. Funny, this is a Zohar, this is actually from the Zohar, and I'm shocked today. I read it so many times just to make sure I get it right. And the Zohar go through what's more important, to be smart, to be intelligent. And the Zohar said, we need to understand the difference between a wise man or intelligent. And the Zohar go through what's better. And then the book of the Zohar bring a section in the Torah when it's written, a wise man is chacham lev, is a wise in his heart. Usually we said wise in his brain, in his heart. Because the wisdom is actually located in your heart, and intelligent located above. And whoever, say the Zohar, the book of the Zohar, whoever affecting others, whoever affecting others with his wisdom or with his intelligence, that's a true wise person. And for that reason, Moses has to choose the people, not just they are genius and smart, is if that wisdom going to the lips and then they share the wisdom with others. If you have a gift, my friend, like you know how to do public speaking, or you know how to talk, or you know how to, you know, consider yourself wise, but you're not capable to give birth, not physically, to another human being because of you, what is your purpose in this life? There is a story, I heard it from a Kabbalist from Jerusalem, good friend. The two rabbis was walking and they saw weird things. Somebody digging a hole. 1 minute after come another guy and covering the hole. Digging, covering. 1 hour. I say, okay, weird people. Came back the same day, the next day, see the same thing. So I'm sorry, but I gotta ask you, what is going on? So what do you mean? So you digging and he's covering. What's this stupid thing? What's going on here? So, well, we have a problem. Normally we are three. There is one who's digging, one who put the seeds, and one who's covering. The one who put the seed didn't arrive. We're waiting for him. So we continue to do the same thing. And this company said, Jerusalem, will he share it? Beautiful man. Rabbi Bnayahu. So he's laughing as if I'm seeing his laughter when he shared it. And he said, what is the seed? Sometimes we're missing the main things in life. We're doing everything correct. But you have to put priority what's important. You can dig and cover and dig and cover and dig and cover. But why do you have the wisdom? Why do you have the ability to speak? So you can manipulate people, that you can hurt people? Or the ability to speak that you can influence people to have a better life? Whatever they remember you or not. Who cares? In the end, they can have a better life. Community get better. The global community become better. Everything in our life become better. But if you just care for your little house, for your little room, I'm just gonna be nice here. Once I'm getting out there, it'll be terrible. I mean, I will speak as I wish. Can't do it like that. Yesterday, a lady with a friend drove here about 65 miles per hour. Somehow, and I want to tell her something. Those of you who know me, I don't like things like this to happen. I go to knock on the window. Caused me a lot of problem, unfortunately. When I confront, excuse me. And I want to give her a lecture there. My wife tries to stop me, my children, but I can't. It's me. It's a problem I have. I love to tell people, not because I hate it, because I care for them and I care for the people who. So somehow it happened at the beginning of the street and we're walking, enjoying the day. And somehow it was traffic that she could not go through, the young girl. And somehow she's talking to my best friend across the street, their best friend. Embarrassing moment, do I do it, not doing it. And of course, I don't see a thing, I see the purpose here. There's children running here all the time, 20 or 30 of them. It's dangerous, I'm sorry. Second is dangerous for her, who knows what she's going to do next. And look what happened, it happened yesterday. So you become worried about the global community. So she's talking to my family, and my family, God bless my family, continue, don't want to be part of this. And I'm saying, I'm not fighting, I just want to say something here. I say, excuse me, you know, you were driving too fast. I didn't. So we need to have a little lecture. And my neighbor tell me, Eliyahu, we are in the middle of conversation. I say, wait a minute. I said, listen, and I go to all conversation. I say, this is wrong. This children here, it's wrong for you. It's wrong for the children. It's wrong. I don't care if she like what I say or she just drove again at 80. But from the point of the global community, it's my responsibility to say the right words. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But it's your responsibility to do the best you can. It's your responsibility to talk nicer, to help somebody. If they're going to hate you after that, better than if you speak behind their back bad. It's not my job to speak about her even right now. But for the lesson, I need to share that with you so we can learn some lesson from it. So, on Saturday, it's called the 9th degree of the moon of Leo. According to the Kabbalist, this is the day that the Messiah is born, every year. Right. Christian claim Messiah has already arrived, he resurrected. Jewish claim we need to wait. Chabad claim it was the Rebbe. Buddhists believe it's the Buddha. Some Muslim has a certain pants because they believe Muhammad was the Messiah, so he will land in those pants. There's a lot of tradition, those of you who follow religion. I follow a lot of religion, I follow a lot of study. I love it, I love to read. It's beautiful. Everybody claim about the Messiah. According to the Zohar, the Messiah is not a person, it's each and every one of you. And you get a chance every 9th degree of Leo to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? I'm not talking about Christianity. To be born again, meaning that you give yourself a chance to be the savior, to be somebody who can do good to others. How do you do it? You go back to the book of Solomon, and in the book of Solomon called Shir HaShirim, songs, it's written, Te'oreru et ahava ad shetechpatz. Shir HaShirim, the book called Songs in Hebrew, or in English, and it's in chapter, second chapter. You should read the second chapter. You should read the whole book 1,000 times. If you read the book, literally it will mean love story. If you go deep into the book, you will realize it's not a love story. It is a love story between God and his female God, what we call the Shekhinah, when they meet each other. That's actually what the book is about. So in the second chapter, it says, you have to awakening the love until the love will be desire. You have to awakening the love until the love will be desire. The meaning that in life, a lot of time we're waiting for some good event to happen, love to happen. I just gotta feel it. I have a feeling for that. It doesn't work like this. Be'orer means awakening. If you think in your imagination that you have that love come like that, what you call, what is it? Love from the first sight? It's called sex, by the way. You don't know that? Love from the first sight is never love, it's sex. I never met a human being on this planet that said I've fallen in love with the ugliest person on earth from the first sight. Never happened. You ever heard it? Please bring him to me. I want to hear one person who can tell me this on the camera, and I will put them and I will say I'm wrong. For that reason, it's a physical love. It's not spiritual love. Love for the first sight. Oh my God, when I saw her in bikini, I knew there is connection. Oh my God. When I saw how tall he is, let me tell you. Love for the first sight. We call it love. No, forget love. Physical attraction from the first sight. Okay, it's okay. Then it builds up to love. Love is not been built. You see, and there is a connection. Oh my God, I felt that. I look at this pupil, and this pupil remind me, my pupil. Love from the first sight. We saw it. Yeah, his nose was not that big, so I can kiss him. Because the last date I had, nose was very big. I could never reach his lips. I will describe everything. Trust me. How many meetings I have in my life with people one-on-one? 20,000 people? I heard it all. There's nothing I don't hear. All day long story. It's like people want to get married. I think I told you this story. It's a funny story. This couple want to get married. They flew all the way from New York. Arriving, Sally Yao, you will be the one who do the wedding for us. And I look at them. They thought I would be excited. I said, why? I said, no, we want you, spiritual guys. I said, okay. I said, no, but why you want to get married? They look at each other. Very, it was a very weird moment. They look at me. They say, excuse me, can we talk for a second? They left here, they stand. Then they came back to the office, and then we keep talking. I said, do you feel this question is weird? I said, yeah, why you want to get married? I said, children. I said, your children, biologically, You don't need to get married. What else? And I give them all the reason not to get married. And I do it to every couple who want me to do a wedding for them, because marriage is not a contract. Love and unity, you know, unity between two souls is the most beautiful thing that exists. There's nothing more powerful than that. But love, you have to be awakening. You have to be awakening the love. If you think you naturally love a human being, then you have some ego you need to work on. Our body don't want to love nothing but me. When you say, I love fish, that's why I kill it, that's not love. People kill what they love because they love it, I want it. I love art. You know what it means? I love art. If I have money, I will buy the Picasso into my house. I love art. Love equal, by the spiritual dictionary, giving. Love means giving. I'm here to give you. Love doesn't mean I want to have you. I want to have that husband. I want to have that wife. I want to have that business. I love that car. You know what it means? I want it. I love that car. That's why I want to give it to you. The word love become corrupted for a long time, my friend. So that's why in books, Shir HaShirim, Songs of King Solomon, Le'orer et ha'ava, awakening the love, Ad she'techpatz. You have to talk. This week, find somebody who can stand you. Do it. It's good for you. See if they can love you again. Do you know one person in life that can stand you? Can you make them love you again? It's such a task. Don't you love tasks? Are you excited on a task? Or you usually say, oh my God, that's too much. Why is it too much? Why is it too much? What makes you alive? What actually makes you alive? It's nothing that can make you alive beside a difficult task. You can't talk to them, you're afraid? Write them a text message. Give love. Give. Anche techpatz. Until the love will be asked. You give. You give. And you give. When I was a teenager, I used to get angry. And my mom found a way to talk to me. She would tell me words that is not even connected to anything. And she kept giving. And I used to get so upset. But in the end, she always win. When I look back, I would not admit it to you when I was 16, but I admit it now. She always won. Her love somehow went into my soul. That's it. Gone. No more negativity, no more anger. Your words of love is power. Don't underestimate it. Don't just throw words, I love you, for no reason. Don't say, I miss you, for no reason. Wait. When those words has value, and when you say it, it's written in the Zohar that people that control their tongue and lips, control what they say, can actually make miracle by speaking. Because your words are not just going just from one mouth to another. It's carried by the angels to the brain of the other person. How many of you try to say something and the people don't even listen? How many of you have a business deal that you knock on the doors and you try to explain yourself, but they don't get it? Because words have power. And if you learn to use it, it will be great. If you cannot even do the text this week, then at least do some meditation. Do at least something with your mind. Can write it. Can say it. Then think it. Think it. Send love. Send love. Because when your enemy is happy, he can no longer be enemy. Did you know that? When the enemy gets fulfilled, it's no longer enemy. Enemy is a person who feels, I don't have something. So the book of Dvarim, when we look at the book of Dvarim, the whole book, the whole idea of this book is how to talk. And when we are capable to control our mouths, We control everything around us. I want you just to close your eyes for a second as we will think how to build Jerusalem again. And Jerusalem is not the physical Jerusalem we want to build. We want to build the inner Jerusalem. The inner Jerusalem is a place, it's a palace where I can be spiritual, when I can talk sweet words. And what I want you to do, I want you to think about this one person. One person. You cannot even stand them. You cannot even hear their name. Nothing about them is positive. Nothing. Zero. Negative. And I want you now to be able to see yourself slowly, slowly. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. Okay? And meditate. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know what you feel now. Try to say the word I love you 10 times to them in your mind. See if you can say the word I love you. You're losing nothing but words. They cannot even hear you, right? So what's the big deal? Come on, let's try to do it in the mind. You look into their eyes, the person you can't stand, and you just say I love you. Not I love you as a romantic I love you. It's no commitment there. It's just to give energy to them. To give them the energy, to give them the love that they need in the best way. Please do that for a few seconds. And slowly open your eyes. I want to wish you a great week, and hopefully we can inject love into the universe this week. Thank you. Thank you.